Tito, it's our time to be landowners. No more excuses.
Yes, but what about land issues and fight and...
This one is litigation-free. Plus, you get a free architectural plan and bill of quantities to build.
Really? Where?
Devtrako Woodlands. It's a serene master plan gated city in Dawinya.
Yes, but will it be convenient for my family?
It's got everything. Fitness centers, swimming pools, parks, clubhouses, play areas, and it's just 15 minutes drive from the beach.
Yes, but...
Yato, what excuse again?
Oh, no more excuses. I just want to know how to get one.
Now we are talking.
Buy a litigation-free land today at Devtrako Woodlands. Visit our website at woodlands.devtrakogroup.com or call us on 0208-732-302.
Tonight, we're just 17 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections here in Ghana. Amidst accusations of mayhem in certain parts of the country, the GRA's Customs Division uncovers 53 pistols, 74 magazines, and 65 live ammunition concealed in a 40-footer container at Tema Port.
Following the notification, personnel of GRA Intelligence and Investigation Unit and the Custom Preventive Unit arrived at the scene and confirmed the 53 sidearms, the 74 magazines, and 65 live ammunition.
We speak to the National Commission for Small Arms to find out more about this and also speak to a peace analyst on how we can handle such development in the times we find ourselves in. This is Top Story, brought to you by Telcel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy holy sleep. Tonight, we're just 17 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections in Ghana. Amidst fears of plot of mayhem in certain parts of the country, the GRA's Customs Division has uncovered 53 pistols, 74 magazines, and 65 live ammunition concealed in a 40-footer container at the Tema Port. Now, according to the Customs Division of GRA, the container came in from the United States of America with the items concealed in three different suitcases. The shipment, falsely declared as vehicles and personal effect, was intercepted on November 4, 2024, following investigations by the GRA's Intelligence and Preventive Unit. Brigadier General Zibrim Ayorogo is Commissioner of Customs, and he confirmed arrests have been made as investigations continue.
Following the notification, personnel of GRA Intelligence and Investigation Unit and the Customs Preventive Unit arrived at the scene and confirmed the 53 sidearms, the 74 magazines, and 65 live ammunition concealed in three different suitcases. The firearms, magazines, and the live ammunition were seized. Additionally, all other items in the container were thoroughly examined and detained for further investigations. Also, the agent and the consignee representative were also arrested and interrogated on the seized items. The suspect was subsequently transferred to the Marine and Railway Police Station Tema for further investigations. As earlier indicated, the consignment in the container were declared as vehicles and personal effect without declaring the side arms, magazines, and the live ammunition. The non-declaration and the concealment on the firearms and magazines and live ammunition amount to smuggling and concealment of weapons in contravention of Section 138 of Customs Act 2015 Act 0800-591-891.
Now, Brigadier General Zibrim Ayorogo warned that any person who imports ammunition without requisite license or permit commits crime and therefore will be made to face the law.
It is worthy of note that all importers requiring to import firearms and ammunition into the country must first obtain license and permit from the Ministry of Interior before the import. Any person who therefore import firearms and ammunition without the requisite license or permit commits an offense.
So let's bring in JB Asante, who is Deputy Director, Policy Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation at the National Commission of Small Arms and Light Weapons. Grateful to you for joining us here. Now, what more do you know about this particular fine that we're talking about?
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think so. The Customs did a press briefing this afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure whether it's this afternoon, but I know they did a press briefing. Mm-hmm. And they gave all the details so far as the arrest is concerned. So I'm sure you have all the details there.
Okay.
Just as it was said,
okay,
the security agencies are conducting their investigation.
Now, you've been on this crusade against illegal arms in the country for quite some time now. This obviously must be troubling for you.
Yes, of course, it is really of concern to us. And I think it's something that we've been talking about. And I have used platforms such as VO when we have this opportunity to create awareness among the public, you know, that it is an offense to just bring in weapons into the country. And I keep saying that some of our brothers outside see it as a business opportunity, and they think that they can buy the key and bring the debt down here, sell them, you know, and make them profit into their pocket. But they should know that what they are doing, it's something that does not help the country. It poses a threat to the security of this country, and that is not something that should be happening. And just as the Brigadier General said, you know, it is a crime. And according to the Criminal Offences Act, it is a first-degree felony, and you could go to jail for a minimum of 10 years. So I would like to use this opportunity to ask our brothers or whoever is involved to put a stop to, you know, the act of trying to smuggle weapons into the country, because when it gets into the country, you never know where these weapons will end.
Well, your worry is stemming from the fact that, I mean, people can use these unlicensed weapons that we do find in this country to foment mayhem.
Exactly.
And if you look at the times we are in, how significant is this?
Yeah, so looking at the time that we are in, I'm sure we are referring to the fact that we are going to have elections very soon. Yeah, so of course, and we are on a crusade, you know, preaching peaceful elections, and we are asking all Ghanaians to make sure that we preserve the peace that we have. This is not the time to try to intervene any weapons in the election. We are just going to exercise our franchise, express our opinion on who we want to be as, you know, in the next 4 years. And so we should all go to the poll, be law abiding, just go and vote. And after that, you know, you go your way. So we don't want to believe that these are in because of the election. It could be one of the possible reasons why the weapon, but we can't just draw that conclusion until the meetings are completed. And you know, this is not the first time this kind of arrest have done at the court. It's something that has been happening almost every year. Yeah, so we cannot say whether it's because of brother Lee, because of legend. But of course, we should be worried because we are going for nothing. And all of us have to make sure that we preserve the peace that we have so that we don't go the path that other countries have gone, which actually eventually happens to be a development.
But you say that every year arrests like this, you know, does happen. So question is it because we are not able to, or our I mean, the way we tackle this is not punitive enough. That's why people feel that, well, we can still take these unlicensed weapons illegally into the country.
I don't want to believe so, because I know usually when it happens, the security agencies do their work, they do what they have to do. But I think there are some instances also that some of them are able to get a weapon to the country because they are not detected at the point. Yeah, but let me send this caution to them that now the security agencies, you know, are not taking these things lightly. In fact, as a commission, we are at the border, some of the borders, we are at the Temapot, collaborating with the security agencies, you know, to make sure that we also use the expertise that we have to make sure we all are detecting some of these weapons. Now, if I speak, I think just last Monday, yesterday, or Monday or so, you know, some of my officers received training on how to use equipment to detect some of these weapons. So very soon, some of these equipment will be at our borders and at these ports. And so if you make the attempt, you should know that you will be accosted. And just as the general said, the law will definitely deal with you. And I don't think we need to go on that path.
Now, as some will say, this is what we found. What of those that we didn't find at the port but got their way into the country? What is your commission picking on those ones?
Yeah, so then it becomes difficult for you to be able to detect some of these things. And that has been one of our worries, you know, because we know when we hear of illicit arms are coming into the country, we know these are some of the ways in which they get into the country. Because the security agencies were not able to detect them, you know, whether at the borders or at the port, you know, because sometimes, you know, it's quite difficult if you don't have equipment to be able to detect some of these things. It is not, it's not a container full of, you know, all kinds of items. So, and sometimes some of these things are hidden in them. You know, it becomes very difficult to be able to detect if you don't have, you know, the necessary equipment. Yeah, so it is normal for you to expect that without the equipment, some of these weapons can enter into the country. Yeah, but like I said, we are hoping that now that we are getting, you know, some of these equipment, it will help us to be able to detect them. Especially those who try to smuggle them through the port, through, you know, containers, through cars and all that. Yes.
As you do that, what are the systems you are putting, or are there any system you are putting in place to identify the ones that are already in the system that we are not aware of?
Okay, so identifying those that are already in the system that we are not aware of, you know, it is not that easy, but one of the ways is to make sure that the weapons that are seized or accosted, like this one, you know, after going through the process, we make sure that these weapons, we deal with them. So if we have to destroy them, we make sure they are destroyed. Yeah, so that they don't come back into the system. We are also hoping that in the near future, you know, what we call granting of amnesty. We know there are some Ghanaians that genuinely, because they don't know the law or out of ignorance, you know, will buy some of these weapons without going through the process. And let me take this opportunity to educate my listeners that if you need a weapon for whatever genuine reason, you don't just go buy it from anybody. Probably that person was able to smuggle it into the country, like these types of people that were entering into the country. And then they will tell you, I have a weapon that I'm selling, then you just go and buy. That is a criminal offense. If you need to procure a weapon for a genuine or legitimate reason, like for protecting yourself, or protection of valuable property, or for hunting, there are laws, and you make sure you follow the law. So if you are going, you need child arms like the people that have been seized at the court, you write, you apply to the Honorable Minister for the Interior, and you go through the process. If it is a short time, like the form pricing that you think you need, you apply to the police, they will take you through the process. And if you are cleared, you will be given the permit to go to the people we call hunting arms dealers, who have been authorized to sell these weapons to civilians. You go and acquire the weapon, and then you bring it back to the police for them to register the weapon for you. So apart from this, if anybody comes to you and tells you, I have some pills I'm selling, and then you just go and you buy. You should know that you are flouting the law.
Okay.
And for all you know, you will be a law-abiding citizen who thinks that you just need a weapon to protect yourself. All right? But like I keep saying, the day something will happen and you may use the weapon to successfully defend yourself, definitely the police will come in. And when the police comes in, probably they will really tap you at the back and congratulate you for being able to use your weapon to defend yourself. Mm. But then when the next question of where the document problem or the license to use the weapon comes in, then you realize that you find yourself wanted. So I'm appealing to all Ghanaians. If you didn't know, this is an opportunity to educate you. You don't just acquire a weapon from anybody. Mm. You need to go through the process and make sure what you are doing. You get a weapon. Others will think that, oh, probably because the process is quite cumbersome and all that. But I keep saying, yes, as we say that, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
Okay.
If you think the process is difficult, you wait and find yourself in trouble for possessing a weapon without a license. Then you realize that that is even more cumbersome or more difficult. So it is not that cumbersome as people think.
Okay.
Just go to, if you really, really think that you need one. So I was saying that in the near future, we hope there will be what we call a declaration of an amnesty, where all those who acquired weapons.
Accra, a thriving West African city, embodies the pulse of Ghanaian hospitality and culture, creating unforgettable experiences that captivate the hearts of many. Hosting over 100 international conferences and events annually, the city attracts millions of business travelers and tourists, generating significant demand for hotel rooms. This surge in demand presents a unique opportunity for investors to tap into the hospitality market, and DevTraco Plus is at the forefront of this opportunity. Introducing Hotel at the Address, the third and final tower of the Address, offering a range of luxurious units with impeccable finishing and top-of-the-line amenities. Managed by international hotel operators, this investment promises exceptional guest experiences, high occupancy rates, outstanding returns for investors, and long-term value appreciation. Own a hotel room at the Address, diversify your investment, and benefit from a shared income system whilst increasing potential returns.
Probably because they didn't go through the process. You are allowed to come and regularize your weapon so that the police will have data on you and the weapon that you are doing the issue with the license.
Mm.
Or probably if you think you don't need the weapon anymore,
okay,
you bring the weapon, the police will take the weapon, make sure at the right time the weapons are destroyed without actually asking you any questions because that is an ambush.
Okay.
So that's one of the ways in which we are, you know, going about it.
And also, Mr. Javi, do stay with me here. Let me bring in Professor Kwesi Eni, who is a security consultant, because this fine is coming at a time. There have been accusations and counter-accusations among the two leading political parties contesting the 2024 elections about plots to foment trouble in parts of the country. Professor Kwesi Eni, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. With only 17 days to an election that is characterized by an appreciable level of tension, is there a cause of concern with this find?
Well, there is. But since the beginning of the Fourth Republic, every electoral year we see small arms flows coming into the country. There are two disturbing issues with small arms and elections.
Mm.
One, we never ever see the levels of prosecutions and what is done to those who are arrested to serve as a deterrent. The second is that if you do the tracing or the tracking of these guns that are arrested during election years, similar to what my colleague Dr. John Poku does, we are seeing sophistication in the guns that are arrested.
Mm.
So this particular container and the criminality around the use of false identification and the types of guns shows that the appetite for more sophisticated military-grade type guns is on the increase because people know they will go scot-free. They are well-connected. They have godfathers and godmothers to protect them. And we will make the hullabaloo. Tomorrow something will happen and we will all forget about it. Thirdly, is that something has dramatically shifted in West Africa, particularly with the arms flows in the last decade or so. In the last decade, what Dr. Poku and I and our team did was, I think we found a little bit over 2 million unregistered guns in Ghana. We are going to start a new national baseline survey. So if you take the coup d'etats, the rise in violent extremism and terrorism, and the demand for guns in the Sahel and across West Africa, then this is actually a drop in the ocean for Ghana. Mm. But it's still the basis for concern. Unfortunately, you and I will hold this conversation sometime in June next year. More sophisticated arms would have been arrested. But we wouldn't know ever what happens to these people.
But if that is the case, then something must change. Where should that change process should start?
Nothing is going to change, because those who must bring change are those who are secretly involved in bringing these guns and also in providing the protection. So nothing is going to change. I think something very dramatic happens that puts our collective existence at risk. Nothing is going to change, because we are not serious about the issues of small arms and light weapons. Look, when I did the first national baseline survey in 2005, my calculations were that we had about 500,000 to 750,000 guns. The normal attrition rate of 20% means that when we did the baseline survey again in 2014, the figures ought to have dropped by 20%. Rather, they had shot up by almost 400%. And I'm 100% sure that when we complete the new baseline survey next year, the figure will definitely be considerably higher than the 2 million that we found 10 years ago. Because there is no deterrence. People feel they are protected, that they can go around the law, that they can go for scot-free, and it's also very profitable.
Mm. So if I get you, then the agent who has been arrested, you are saying that nothing will come out of that?
Well, let's see in 6 months' time what would have come out of it. But the poor agent is not a big guy or person who needs to be caught. We need to use a network analytical process to see those who are linked, trace the money. The paperwork can be falsified, but the money cannot be falsified. Check the phones, the laptops, and then one step at a time, use network theory and procedures to get to who is the kingpin or the queenpin behind this. But we don't ever have the time to do this. So for me, I'm sitting here having tea. It's a very nice conversation. I can test some of my ideas on you, but nothing is going to happen to anybody.
Isn't that sort of, you know, taking the energy away from people like JB Asante and the people at Customs who are fighting every day to ensure that we bring that into this?
This is not the first time they have seen some of these weapons this year. Ask them. If they are online, ask them, how many times have they seized guns?
He says every year they do it.
Every electoral year. Ask them how many times they've seized guns this year. And what types of guns. And who are those who are involved. How many of them have been prosecuted. I know JB very well and he knows me well. I've been in this business for 20 years or more. Only on small arms. I need to say things as they are, for us to begin to ask ourselves the tough questions. So why do we still need these guns? Where do we hide them? What do we use them for? Okay, what is it good for that people bring in these guns and people demand for them? We tend to be asking the wrong questions all the time. Okay. We need to turn the questions around and begin to look at the counterfactuals. When we do that, you will draw the conclusion that I am drawing. but we don't have the institutional firepower and the political will to go after these guys.
Mm. Stay with me. Let me bring in Mr. Jebi Asante. Mr. Jebi Asante, you've heard Professor Kwesi Enang there. Has anybody been prosecuted? How many people have been prosecuted over the last year for bringing in guns illegally?
That would be a difficult one for me to answer, really, because I have not really, I don't have that kind of information as I speak to you of head. Yes, I would love to find out. Yeah.
So with the find that we have, will they be, you said you some of them are bent in the past. Will this one be bent as well?
You mean the ones that have been seized?
Yes.
Yeah, so it depends on how the investigation goes. Eventually, if it comes out that these are weapons that are illicit, they didn't have any authorization to bring them in. Yeah, then based on what the Minister for the Interior, the directive that the Minister for the Interior gives, they will be destroyed.
But isn't the fact that people are not arrested the reason why they keep doing it? Because like Professor Nini is saying, there is that motivation for people to keep bringing in because they know that nothing will happen eventually.
Well, we know that those, just as the general said, those who brought in this, the agent have been arrested. I understand they are doing, and I know they are doing their investigations. As a commission, we also want to ask the security agencies to ensure that the law takes its full course,
okay.
And we want to believe that that is what will happen. Mm. Yes, and we also monitor and make sure how it ends.
Mr. Jebi Asante, I'm grateful to you for joining us. He's Deputy Director, Policy Planning, Monitoring, Evaluation at the Small Arms Commission. Professor Kwesi Enang, I'm grateful to you, but what would you tell those who are at the forefront of this? What should they do differently?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Good. Well, those at the forefront can do very little. I mean, Mr. JB and his team are doing a fantastic job. But Mr. JB knows that as a public servant, there's an extent to how much he can push. Mm. If Mr. JB were to cross the line, they may demote him, transfer him, sack him, free him up.
Okay.
What right. We are looking at is about power.
Mm.
It's about money.
Mm.
And Mr. JB knows, and I know. Or if you like, call Mr. Retired COP Kofi Boakye when he was commissioner in Kumasi, original commander. The kind of things he did to bring small arms flows under control. The type of guns he seized, where they come from, and the political pressure. I mean, you can see the threats that Kofi Boakye is receiving now. So this is not just something. I mean, putting Mr. JB on the spot is a little unfair because he's a civil servant. Okay, there's a limit to what he can do and then say. But I can tell you, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I'll challenge you. Come to me. Let's follow this case until March or June next year.
All right.
Nothing is going.
Grateful to you, Professor Enang, for joining us here. This has been Talk Story, brought to you by Telecel and Holy Incense Spray. Up next is Newsnight with MFA Apau.
There's a business in every.